Father, we ask and receive this morning as we study your word together. Thank you for revelation knowledge. We receive insight, everyone here. Clarity of thought, understanding our minds. We thank you for the instructions received. We give you praise for the work of faith in our lives. As we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. Mark's Gospel chapter 11, verse 23. We have been looking at the topic, you can have what you say. You can have what you say. Amen. Mark's Gospel chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Matthew's Gospel 21 and verse 21. Matthew's Gospel 21 and verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, or verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Hallelujah. Now, the background of the story was that Jesus was walking with his disciples. Then they saw a fig tree, and then he spoke to the fig tree. So I say he spoke to the fig tree. Alright, say it again. He spoke to the fig tree. That's what he did in verse 14. He says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. They heard it. They heard it. The disciples heard what he said. They heard what he said. We said last week that the words of faith are loud enough. It's not a whisper. They heard what he said. So as he was coming back, pay attention, through the same road, they said to him, Master, or Peter particularly said, Master, that tree you cursed is withered away. In other words, Peter is astonished. He's wondering, how did this happen? And then Jesus said, have faith in God, or better still, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Then he says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Now we said that there are two accounts of the same story. The other one is the Matthew 21:21 we just read. Then Jesus said, you will not only say, or you not only have what is done to the fig tree, but you shall say to this mountain. In other words, Jesus is talking generally about obstacles or things that are problematic. So you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Notice, he says, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Two different words. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. In other words, I'm not just speaking to the mountain, I'm also giving the mountain direction to go. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Two different things. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Notice, we're coming to that shortly. He didn't say those things which he said, but those things which he what? Saith shall come to pass. He shall have what things soever he says. So it's not what you said, it's what you say. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It is what you said, but better still, what you say. And we said, remember, let me just go over that again, that in verse 23, he mentioned saying three times, whosoever shall say, shall believe those things which he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So Jesus is talking about how faith works. And then he says, you shall have whatsoever that you say. So if we put the two accounts together, he said, if you have faith, you will not only say to the mountain or to the fig tree, but you will say to just about every kind of other mountain or obstacle or a challenge or difficulty. In other words, he says to us that our words are the ways we exercise authority. Because if you say, be thou removed, that's authority. Be thou cast into the sea, that's authority. So, like we said before now, he is teaching how to use the believer's authority. That's how you don't use the believer's authority by knowing it. You don't use it by singing about it, or learning it, or understanding how Jesus died for us. Oh my God, do you know that I am seated in Christ? Do you know as he is, so are we in this world? Yay! And that's all to it. Jesus did not just say, I am the Son of God, and that was all to it. No. He spoke to circumstances in that office, in that status. So they found him doing it, and then they asked him, how did this happen? Then he told them, if you have the faith of God, the believer's authority, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. You don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass. You shall have what things soever that you say. Jesus is teaching the believer's authority. You cannot use your authority beyond the way you use your words. Your words are the way, or the way, that you use your authority. Authority is used in words. See, authority is exercised with words. So the believer ought to learn to use his authority with words. Let's look at one instance quickly. Mark 5. There was a woman with the issue of blood. We know her very well. Let's mark something out that is vital here in Mark 5. This woman, verse 25, says she had an issue of blood 12 years. Don't say 12 years. Now, what's 12 years? 12 years is 12 months, I think, times 12 years. That's 144 months. That's quite some. 144 months. Give me that in days. That's 365 times 12. So mathematics, help me out. That's about that's about 4,000, almost 5,000 days. Oh, my math isn't bad. 5,000 days, you wake up every day, and then you see blood out of your body. It's very likely that she knows how to describe the blood. You know, some people get so sick, they become doctors. You can become so sick, you become a doctor. I remember I was talking to a fellow years back, and he described the sickness he had in such a scholastic fashion. And he didn't say one thing about God's power. He didn't even sigh about God's power. So as we were leaving his room, he said, pray for me. I mean, I want to tell him, well, you almost dragged faith out of my heart by everything you told me. So 12 years, the man will tell you, you know, I know I can't sit in front. Say, why? My condition, no. You know my condition. You know, she'll probably be like 12 years. She's gone to doctors so much that she goes for appointments. You know, you ain't go for an appointment. And it's not the appointment you do check up, an appointment that they just manage the situation for you. But the Bible says she heard of Jesus. Pay attention. She heard of Jesus. She did. She heard of Jesus. No, verse 26 says, she has suffered many things of many positions. So that sometimes positions make you suffer. Amen. Hallelujah. Doctors went quiet. And I spent all she had. That's the suffering, actually. Because you really suffer because you spend your money. She spent all she had. And you notice this. And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, it depends on what she heard of Jesus. You know, she could have paid attention to Facebook posts about Jesus. Things said on Twitter. That guy, don't trust him. He's a blasphemer. You decide what you want to hear. When she heard about Jesus, she must have heard about Jesus' healing power. She heard about Jesus. She didn't hear that Jesus was such a great speaker. That would make no sense. She didn't hear that, you know, when Jesus is holding a service, they do comedy. Amen. Or, you know, she didn't hear that Jesus was such a great speaker that he used to raise entrepreneurs in his meetings. Alright. She didn't hear, Jesus used to speak the truth to power. He speaks the truth to power. He spoke to her all. You know, she didn't hear. That was not what she heard. She must have heard, which is true, she heard that people touched his clothes and they were healed. She heard that. She heard that at his word, demons fled. She heard that. Amen. She heard that. When she heard, come on. Let's say something here. When she heard of Jesus, go to verse 28. When she heard, she said, come on now. Hey, when she heard, she said. When she heard, she said. Come on. When she heard, she said. Because hearing is no action of faith. Hearing is not an action of faith. Anybody could have heard that as well. Hearing is not an action of faith. The action of faith is what you do to what you heard. She heard and then she said. So say she heard. Come on, talk to me. She heard and she said. She heard and she said. It does nothing because you heard it. In other words, she heard it and she used what she heard. She heard it and she said. Actually, the original Greek says, and she kept saying. She heard and she kept saying. She heard and she kept saying. If I have touched the hem of his clothes, I shall be whole. Now notice that what she did, what happened was she touched his clothes, for she said. If I but touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be healed. Jesus didn't tell her to touch his clothes. She said. Because you determine your action of faith. You remember that? Jesus didn't tell her to touch his clothes. She heard. Okay? For she said. When she heard, she said. Amen. So, no matter how sound a sermon is until you act on it. She heard about Jesus. That's no action. She said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be healed. So she heard, and then she acted on what she said. She touched his clothes. Second thing she did. She said, in other words, as she was touching his clothes, she kept saying. Because the word is, she kept saying. As she was touching his clothes, she kept saying. What else did she do? And then straight away, the fountain of blood, or the fountain of blood in her body, pardon me, was dried up. In other words, she received it. She received it. She felt in her body, she was healed of a plague. She said it. She said it. And how you know that she wasn't surprised was when Jesus called people's attention and she came out, she told all that happened. She was very precise. I said, I did what I said, I received my healing. She was so precise. In other words, we said last week, remember, that the words of faith must be unambiguous. Remember that? Unambiguous. Hallelujah. For she said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So, write this down. Hearing is not an activity. Say, over hearing? It's not an activity of faith. Say it again. Hearing is not an activity of faith. It's not. Hearing all this is not faith. Oh my God. Great sermon, sir. Wonderful sermon. Even touching his clothes is not an activity of faith. Because obviously she wasn't the only one touching his clothes. Passing by Jesus is also an activity of faith. Knowing that Jesus is a great healer is not an activity of faith. In fact, explaining to people that he healed the sick is not an activity of faith. For she said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Remember, Jesus didn't lay hands on this woman. She was going to the house of Jairus and they were clearing the road. You know, today if you do that, they'll say, you can't even be like Jesus. You're using protocol. Jesus used protocol. The fence guys are, come on, move away. Come on, move. I don't think they did it like this. Moving Jesus. I think they pushed people off. Hey, you know, somebody tell you, I wanted to come to you, but somehow the protocol did not allow me. I don't know what's happening these days. How would they allow you? If they allow everybody, how would it look like? If everybody comes at one person at once, and is not omnipresent, that doesn't make sense, does it? So, watch this now. She now turned around and said, who touched me? He said, Master, we're already tired. You know, if you're in this protocol, that question will annoy you. You're still saying, please move. Don't. Oh. And he says, who touched me? He said, who touched you? He said, Master, can you see the crowd? Open your natural eyes. Close your spiritual eyes. These are natural. He said, virtue came out of me to someone. In other words, the woman's words gave direction to the power of God. Say, my words. Give direction to the power of God. Say, my words. Give direction to the power. Say, woman, say, my words. Give direction to the power of God. Just in the same vein, you find the man Jairus. They told him that his daughter just died. And Jesus, verse 36, come on. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, notice again, as soon he said, you don't wait for those words to settle, whether they are words of faith or words of doubt. As soon as he heard it. The devil is powerful. The devil can be very bad. Who asked you to say all that? As soon as you heard it, you say, hey, Jerry? J.J. Jerry? Fear not. Fear not. Only believe. Some say, as soon. As soon. Some of us allow doubt to settle in well, doubt to build foundation, put flats, apartments. If I get tenants, they now say, I believe God. What did you wait? How did you wait for that to happen before you use your faith? Jesus said immediately as he heard this news, he said, Jairus, don't doubt. only believe. Remember again, Jesus spoke to Jairus. He spoke to his daughter later, but he first spoke to him. Amen. I said amen. Did you observe everything we have been reading so far are words? She heard of Jesus' words. She said words. She kept saying words. They said to Jairus' words. Jesus said to Jairus' words. He spoke to his daughter words. Are you still there? Everything is about words. Do you know that crying is also words? I never knew this kind of thing could happen to me. I never said, I'm just expressing myself. I'm not doubting. I'm not doubting. I'm just expressing just to say, I just want to pour my heart. Hey, brother, you are doubting. No, I'm just saying what I'm going through. I'm not trying to doubt. Say, I believe it's the word of God. It's written, but is it all just proper to say what is it? You know, there are people that are there for you. They are never there to encourage your faith, but they are there to hug you when you doubt. So I understand. Me too, like 2 years ago. Me too, like 2 years ago. You know, we just have to surrender to the perfect will of God. You know, we can try. It's not just looking for one scripture for you. It's not of him that we let. It's not of him that run. You know, at that point, you just enter agreement. It's not of him that we let. It's God that shows mercy. Mercy. Everything is grace. You know, they just look for one scripture somewhere and just plaster you with it, and that's the end for you. But as soon as Jesus heard it, he said, how quickly do I use my words? Immediately. Sometimes some words drop into your mind. You've heard them from someone. Immediately you respond. You know, even my dad, love my dad, he's a great man. But I remember something he said, 1994, late 94. He said that thing, and I responded right in his presence. He didn't like it. Well, I didn't care. I just responded straight. I wasn't being rude to him. No, I was responding not to him, but the words he spoke. And I said it again and again. 14 years after, I think. Yeah. 14 years after that, I reminded him. What he said didn't come to pass. Was what I said that came to pass. Your smile. I spoke that immediately. Didn't wait for it. Yep. 14 years after. No. 13 years after, not 14. I spoke back immediately. You say, well, it's not good. What they are saying is not good. Huh? It's not good. Can you talk to me? That does nothing. How many people know that crying has never changed your life? Who has seen that before? Crying is it changes your mood. Crying makes you lean. Some guys can cry, makes you lean. You lose some weight. Well, it's good to shed weight. But some folks cry some, then they shed some weight. You know, crying just goes. It has a soothing feeling. Like, oh. I have cried. When you are done, nothing has changed. Except you just cried about it. Do you know sometimes talking to people about it doesn't change anything? All you have just done is spread the information. What about speaking to it? Talking about it doesn't change it either. Speaking to it. Hallelujah. Some guys can speak about the mountain well enough that the mountain will clap for you. Wow, you are so intelligent. You really understand mountains. You are a mountaineer. But they have said nothing to the matter. Matthew 8 again. Come on, Matthew 8. A man said to Jesus, Matthew 8, the centurion, he said, my servant lies at home sick. Matthew 8. Are you in church? Matthew 8. Verse 6. Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the man said, look, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this, go, and he goes. To another, comes, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he do it. Now, notice what the man said. He's saying, I don't have to be physically present for my authority to work. Words are the insignia, or better still, words are the tools of authority. The president of Nigeria will give an instruction, but he doesn't go round the nation to make sure it works. His words carry his authority. You know, your words are as valuable as your status. Your words are just as valuable as your status. I'll take that one more time. Your words are just as valuable as your status. So, your words only have authority in your sphere of influence. You know, if you get to your home and you talk to your children, who put this here? Do this. In your tongue. But you don't go to someone else's home and say, do this. They look at you. They can say, well, our father told us to put it there, and they say, look at you one kind. Because it's not your sphere of authority. That shows you again that your words only work on issues of your life. Your own sphere of influence. Not on someone else. That's why if somebody talks to you and they say, hey, return to sender, return to sender, it's not my portion. You know, some of those things are not necessary. Just speak faith in words. Alright? We'll get to that next week. So, the man said, I say to one, in other words, my words are as potent as my presence. Because even if I show up, I'm still going to speak. And I don't need to be there to say something. In other words, I don't need to be where it's happening to speak about it or to speak to it. I don't need to be there physically to speak to it. My words and my presence do the same thing. In fact, my presence will still require my word. Does it make sense to you? Come on, does it make sense to you? So, my words carry my authority. Say, my words carry my authority. Did you discover that in the earth, let me say this now, when Adam was created, in Genesis chapter 2, his use of words, the first use of his words was authority. He said to him, whatever he called the animals, so they were. In other words, his first use of words was authority. So, learn to see your words as authority. Just like God. The first use of his words was authority. Like me, there was life. Your word, I told you, your mouth is not for eating, primarily. Your mouth is not for eating. There are times you have eaten without your mouth. Or taking food. You don't know about that? Well, if you've ever been so down and out that the pastor drips through you, you say, well, he needs, let's give him food. Okay, she's not looking here. You know, you put food in the person's body. And you're still talking. I'm so weak. And they're putting food in your body. Am I right? I'm so tired. I'm so weak. You use your mouth to say, I don't have appetite. Your mouth. And they're placing food into your body. In other words, your mouth is not primarily for eating food. Your mouth is primarily for your life. Your life. Say out of his mouth. Do you know that Jesus used his mouth more for words of authority than eating? You can count about five times where Jesus ate in the entire scriptures. But you cannot count on five fingers, where he uses words. You have almost 100 times. Over 100 times. He spoke. He spoke to this, spoke to that, spoke about himself. So your mouth is not primarily for eating, neither is your mouth primarily for gists. Gists. Some guys are mad on it's okay. Hey, I missed you. Let's catch up on some whole things. They can talk for 2 hours, but won't tell them to pray. After 2 minutes, they're looking at his watch. Has this watch stopped? No, it has not stopped. It's just 2 minutes. Nothing has happened to your wristwatch. It hasn't stopped. It's just 2 minutes. So you need to learn to use your words. Amen. Write this down now. Your persistence is in your words. Say, my persistence. Say loud, my persistence is in my words. You don't have to be a strong person physically to be persistent. You just need to have strong words. Matthew 15, from verse 21. A woman called the Syrophoenician woman, she came to Jesus. Matthew 15. She came to Jesus and said, look, I want my servant healed. And then the disciples didn't answer a word in verse 23. Send her away, she cries after us. He answered and said to her, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Then he said in 27, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you want. Jesus calls our persistence faith. She was persistent. In other words, she didn't speak once. Are you there? Many of us, as you spoke the first time, you said, maybe it's not the will of God. She didn't speak once. She spoke the second time. In fact, she first took the daughter to the disciples. They said, look, go away. She spoke to Jesus. He said, I'm not sent to you. Then she spoke again. In other words, she spoke at least 3 times. You must show persistence in your words. Say persistence. Say persistence is in my words. You must use your word persistently. Is your thought? But notice that every account we have read, whether it's Mark 5, Matthew 8, or Matthew 15, none of them spoke to the mountain. That's why we said, what Jesus was teaching in Mark 11, 23, was the believer's use of authority. The believer's use of his own authority. None of them spoke to the mountain. Okay? So get back to Mark 11. What we have just seen so far is the use of words. The woman used her words to direct God's power. Mark 5. In Matthew 8, the man used his words to tell Jesus, look, you don't have to come. Just speak and he will be healed. Your words are as good as your presence. So two people knew the value of words. The third one, the Syrophoenician woman, used our persistence in our words. So your words chart the course of your life. If you are going to be persistent, it's in your words. If you are going to doubt, it's in your words. If you are going to fear, it's in your words. We said that last week. If you are going to believe God, allow me to use that for this service, it's your words. If you are going to worry, it's in your words. It's in your words. So they are all in my words. So I must not speak words that I don't have control over. I must tell myself, what am I going to feel into my words? I must see my words as powerful enough to change things for the better and make things go worse. So I must tell myself, what am I about to speak? I mustn't speak without thinking. I mustn't I mustn't speak as an outburst of emotions. You know, I can. Remember when we were teaching about family and life last year, I said, even words you say over your kids. Can't you see? Are you deaf? Why do you have to say that? Did you have to say that? Are you deaf? You don't have to say that. You can say things like, you should have heard me properly. Why didn't you pay attention to what I was saying? That's a better way of saying it. Words are vital. Fill your words with God's word. Say, fill your words with God's word. Say, I speak faith-filled words all the time. Remember we said that if you record your words in a day, just record your words in a day. You listen to it. What do you think you're going to hear? I mean, all the words you spoke in there, you put in the recorder and then you listen to yourself. My God. One time I was in the bus, 1993, I think. And I sensed the Lord asked me to just listen to what everybody was saying. You know, remember Federal Mass? You know, remember Federal Mass? Federal Mass Transit? The big ones, you know. Blue, white. I think blue, black, and white. Federal Mass. So I sat at the back and I listened to people talking generally. My. I mean, that was the first time I would pay attention to not just people talking, but what they were really saying. And you find Christians were there. And you know, it was about the time of this June 12 crisis and all that. The kind of unbelief in that boss. The children of Israel should have been pardoned. They should not be pardoned. And you know, it looks so healthy to speak fearfully. Because you say, I'm only expressing myself. It looks so healthy to just speak. It's just normal speaking to many people, but it's not. We never heard Jesus speak fear. Not once. Praise God. I said, praise God. Are you learning something? Come on, are you learning something? Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say. Now, how many times do you have the word whosoever? Huh? Mark 11 now. Mark 11. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, there you have, he shall have whatsoever. You have two things. Whosoever, and then you have what? Whatsoever. So say whosoever, whatsoever. Say it again. Whosoever, whatsoever. Now when you say whosoever, and you say whatsoever, that means anyhow. Whosoever and whatsoever. Whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. Tell me, whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. Raise it one more time. Say, whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. Say one time, whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. One time, say, whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. Is there any whosoever here this morning? Let me see your hand. Whosoever, come on, raise your hand. Now, whatsoever is actually what? Whatsoever. Whosoever shall say, shall have whatsoever he says. Now, notice how he puts it. Pay attention now. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the first word there is lego. I told you last 2 weeks. It means to command. It carries the tone of a commandment. Whosoever shall command to this mountain, lego, L-E-G-O. The second word is different. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and they are instructed. Because Jesus didn't use his words carelessly. Whosoever shall say, the first word is lego, to command. Unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he saith, not just one thing anyway, those things, the word saith is laleo or lalos, L-A-L-O-S, different. Lalos means to be talkative. You know, when you just keep talking. You just keep talking. You just keep talking. That is, she just kept talking. So, the first one will be, I say to the mountain, let go. Then, the second is to affirm what I said. So, I just keep talking. Laleo. Like being, like to chatter. To keep talking. Or regular speaking. A version will say to tell a tale. I keep talking. Whosoever shall command and shall believe that those things which he keeps saying. Amen. Amen. He keeps saying. The first one is a specific speaking. The second one is an affirmative speaking. And you know, the affirmative speaking will be regular, constant, and persistent. Affirmative speaking. He keeps saying, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, interestingly, the last saying is implied. Because the word is the word emi in the Greek, E-I-M-I. It means to exist, to be. So, the first saying is similar to saying, instruct the mountain. Instruct the mountain. Instruct the mountain. Then, second time, persist on what you instructed. Persist on what you instructed. Insist on what you instructed. And he shall have whatsoever he says. In other words, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Emi. E-I-M-I. It will come to pass. So, in other words, Jesus is teaching authority. He's teaching what? Teaching what? Authority. The use of your authority. Amen. The use of your authority. I told you, the believer's authority is not just given to you, it's necessary. The use of your authority. Whosoever shall say. So I say, but I spoke the word. Yeah, the whole time I'm talking to someone, say, sir, I spoke the word. Watch this now. I spoke the word and nothing happened. The first speaking is whosoever shall say. The second speaking is what you're saying now. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. That's actually what you keep saying. Nothing happened. But you say, but I said it. No, no, you keep saying it. What you're saying now is nothing happened. And what you have is nothing happened. But I thought I was coming for counseling and not opening up myself. Yeah, that's exactly what you've done. You have opened up yourself. You've opened up your heart. And nothing happened is exactly what you are saying. Hallelujah. You guys looking at me. You know, someone came to me for counseling years ago. He said, sir, I actually came to you because I don't know what to do. I said, you go back where you know what to do. Let's talk. He's looking at me so funny. He goes back. He comes again. Sir, I was saying yesterday, sir. Yeah, bless you, sir. I was saying yesterday that I don't know what to say. Okay, when you know what to do, let's talk. Huh? I think the third time he got some sense. Sir, I know what to do. I said, let's talk now. Praise God. Because I don't want to start with your unbelief. Amen. I know what to do. You say, but I'm just, I'm just opening up my mind. I'm just being real. That's the point. Being real will never help you. Praise God. If you're real, you will die being real. You will fall ill and die in it being real. Amen. You will experience hardship because you are real. You will sin because you are real. Come on. You got to be word, not real. Speak the word. Amen. If the woman with the issue of blood was real, just say, You know, it's very possible that some folks touch Jesus' clothes and they remain sick. If you have told someone, I'm going to touch his clothes, I'll be healed. What's in his clothes? I touched it yesterday now. His clothes? I even felt the pain. I even tore some part. Is this disease? Okay, touch the clothes. Is this not the clothes? Oh, it's true. Hallelujah. Sometimes you talk to the wrong people. Do you know that some folks can be where God's power is moving and they will not feel anything? They won't receive anything. They just say, hey, in that program, seriously, well, shall you know God has his own appointed time? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. God has his own appointed time. Have you seen sometimes you're ministering somewhere and those people who watched you? A brother was telling me this. He was listening to his station, I think, Enugu or so. He was listening to the teaching of faith and healing. And he had been diagnosed of HIV, advanced level, almost full-blown AIDS. He said, he listened to the teaching, faith and healing. Praise God. And he listened. As he listened, he said he received his healing. And then he went to do a check. And he is healed totally. He's not there. He just heard it. Same way, you hear about Jesus now, and you receive your healing. Whereas some folks who were there, when he was there, they arrested him. The same person. So really, faith gives direction to the power of God. Faith gives direction to the power of God. Say with me, faith. Give, come on, say it again. Say, faith gives direction to the power of God. He's healed. So some folks may not even be in the meeting where it's taught. Because whether you are in the meeting or not in the meeting, Your words. Some guys don't know how to leave a church service. How was the service? That was great. Great. Wonderful time. Hey, what were we saying last week? No. She said. You need to learn to say. So, the first speaking is to instruct. The second one is to affirm. You affirm. Hallelujah. You affirm. You keep saying. Don't say, but I'm just telling you. Nothing has happened. I have received my healing. Power of God is working in my body. Even if the pain is there, say the power of God is working in my body. He's bringing a healing, effecting a cure. Power of God is working in my body. Power of God, you know, that means you said and you keep saying. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Notice Jesus. Pay attention. Jesus always said who he was. You use your words to affirm who you are and what you have. You use your words to affirm who you are and what you have. Affirm it. This is what the word of God says about me. I affirm it. This is who I am in Christ. I affirm it. Jesus always said who he was. Remember? He showed up in Luke 14. The Bible says he found the place where he was with him. He looked out for it. Luke 4:18. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He says, he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he dared to call himself what God called him. I dare to say who I am in Christ. I dare to say who I am in Christ. No, you know, though, everybody was like, what's something, this one? Jesus Joseph? Or sorry, Joshua J? Who is he? He said, no, I'm not just Jesus Joseph. I am the fellow spoken of in Luke 4:18. You must dare to say who you are in Christ. You must say it. You must say it so often. Some guys, the only place they declare who they are in Christ in church service and when we are singing. You know some folks, there's some people, they don't believe, for example, that a man, when he is saved, cannot lose his salvation. They believe that you can lose your salvation to who they can't save it. But somebody steals it somehow and takes it from you, or you forget it somewhere, you lose it somewhere, you drop it in the waste bin somewhere. But that's not even my problem. They now sing songs that contradict and they enjoy the song. Majesty, majesty, grace has found me just as I am. Oh, they forget the word is empty and dead. I'm alive in your air. Everybody sing, majesty, now wait a minute, majesty, forever. Forever I am changed by your love. So you know. But I say, for now I am changed by your love. You say forever, and then you say you're not saying forever. You gotta stop having two opinions. You are only a doubter. To some guys, their greatest confession are in songs. This is my story, oh. This is my song. This is my song. Praise me, my Savior, that the Lord. This is my story. If that's your story, then that's your story. But let him step out of the auditorium. But then we have to hold on to this thing. See? You must dare to say who you are. Say, I am the Son of God. See how you said it. Say, I am the Son of God. As he is, so am I. Hold your head wherever you are holding. My head up. You know, remember what that sitcom in the 80s? My belly, oh, my. Your jaguar. Your That's how I see when I see people hold their head. Your head shall never lack oil. Your head shall never lack oil. Put that down, my guy. Hallelujah. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You must say who you are. Say it so often. John 6. Jesus always declared who he was. He didn't say it privately. You know, some people, it's private confession. When they're in their room, they think it's for God. It's when they're in their devotion, say, I am the righteousness of God. He cried, Jesus, can you hear me? Nobody, you have to say it out. Praise God. Say it out. If Jesus was whispering who he was, the disciples never heard him. So who really are you? You have to check my spirit to know the things that I say in my spirit to my God. He always said it before them. Praise God. He always said who he was. Hallelujah. Say, I dare to say who I am in Christ. John 6. Are you there? John 6. Verse 32. My Father give you the true bread. The bread of God is he that cometh from us. Who is the bread? Verse 35. Come on. I am. Praise God. How many times you say, I am? I am. You know, that's bold. I am the bread of life. He said that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am forgiven. I am declared justified. I am seated at the right hand of God. I am. Say, I am.
I am.
Go away. I am. Don't say where. Why don't say I will be? I will be. Let's use I will be for now. You will never share your glory with him. He said, I am. I'm the bread of life. Praise God. Look at 48. I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. John 14:6. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He always said who he was. Praise God. Praise God. Your words are like your ID card. You know, you show up and say, let's see your ID card. Show them. So your ID card and you must be the same. You must say who you are in Christ. You must say who you are in Christ. Amen. Say, I am holy. I am blameless before him in love. I am irreprovable in his sight. Be careful. Brother Higgin used to tell the story of a woman that she came to church and said, the devil has really tormented me. She said, the devil has really dealt with me, Brother Higgin. So let's pray about it. So he said, devil, in the name of Jesus, don't let him hear you. You know, she's so afraid. She's so afraid. The guy told me one time, he said, every time I sleep, I see someone push me. Push you. Push you. Push you. I was like, Jesus. Gigi. 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 Jesus. I was like, you know, sometimes it's because of the things you believe. I said, No one should torment you, whether you are asleep or you are awake. So you go back to that dream. The next time, say, can I do it? Of course you can. In that dream, the next time, they push you, you hold the person like this. You say, sir, no deliverance. No deliverance. Deliver from what? You hold the person yourself. Say, and you know, they'll say, that's all. If you are saying, and you brought out maybe a stone, take it. Put it on your pillow. You will believe that. I say, wait for me. You know, if you are an African, you say, bring a bowl of beans, take it. Eat 2 spoons in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. They have faith in those kind of nonsense. But you say, no, this is who you are in Christ. Say, show me a proof. Give me a bowl of rice to take home. I'll keep it somewhere. No, God's word is enough. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Say, Jesus, I saw a big cat. Because you have watched African movies. A big cat, very big. Was just like this. Then, as I saw the cat, I just saw my mother. So I'm wondering, mommy, cat. Someone told me, this is very funny. They said, you are going to bury your enemies tonight. So they all went to expressway. They said, you carry sand and do dust to dust, ashes to ashes for their enemies. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. So the trailer was coming, everybody went. They will see the real dust to dust. Stupid people. You will see the real dust to dust. Hallelujah. I'm have what the world says I have. I have what the world says I have. Are you in church? You need to say who you are. Be bold. Praise God. I say who I am in Christ. What else? I say what I can do in Christ. Amen. Say, I say what I can do in Christ. Jesus said what he can do. Jesus said what the Father does in him. He said, my Father walketh hither though I walk. My Father walks in me. John 14, 10 to 12. He walks in me. You must say it. You know, you will have wondered, did he have to say it? Yes, you have to. The man says, faith, confession, they affirm the reality of who we are. They don't create the reality. It's already real. But they affirm it. They testify of it. And they witness to it. I witness to what God is doing. I witness to what he has done. I witness to what I can do in him. I must always say, I must be bold to say, the Father is at work in me. God is at work in me. You know, sometimes people can talk you down. Look at you. Look at how horrible you've been behaving. Look at how horrible. He says, and you can just go back and say, well, look at how horrible I am. You know, you can just say, well, Father is at work in me. His power is at work in me. His grace is at work in me. Oh, His Spirit is working in me. You know, yes, you may have done badly, but you affirm God's word. The Father is at work in me. He's at work in me. My conduct is changing. My behavior is changing. My response is changing. Hallelujah. Things are changing. Because I'm seeing what He's doing in me. Do you know, when you make errors, or when you do right, none of them changes the fact that He's at work in you. So why not just affirm it? The Father is at work in me. He's at work in me. He's supplying me strength. He's supplying me wisdom. He's supplying me energy. He's supplying. Hallelujah. I say what He has done. I say what He's doing now. Praise God. Because my words are my authority over life circumstances. Are you in church? You say what He's doing. You say what He's doing. You know, on the cross, Jesus didn't stop speaking. He didn't say, yay! Yeah! Hey! Ah! Yeah! John! Master, what's going on? He's beating me! What you language are you asking me? You know, Jesus began to speak the word. He spoke words in the scriptures. My God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27, 46. That's how he started. But that's not how he ended. He kept speaking the word. He spoke the word. He spoke the word. He spoke the word. When he got to the grave in the hell, he kept speaking the word. Look at Acts 2. He doesn't judge you like this. Bah, bah. Third day. Just 3 days. I will wait. If he had done that, he would have stayed there forever. He spoke the word. Look at Acts 2. Jesus didn't stop speaking. Imagine he spoke for 3 days. Yeah, he did. There was never a time on the cross he was quiet. He kept speaking. Matthew 27, 46 was a summary of what he said. Because his disciples had run away. You know, they ran away. They only, my God, they ran away. So is that how they heard it from afar? What did he say? My God. What else did he say? I can't hear him. He's too distant. But when he called them together, he told them the things he said. And Peter recorded it. Matthew 20, Acts 2. Verse 25. For David speaks on this wise concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it's always at my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh, Acts 2:26, shall set it rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Whose words were this? Whose words were this? Come on, whose words were this? Words of Jesus. Neither will thy only suffer thy only one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. Then, you know, Peter says, men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, will be raised up Christ's eternal throne, he seen this before, spoke of what? The resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Where did he speak these words? He spoke those words in the grave, in hell. So Jesus didn't just keep quiet. No. The words spoken in scriptures were spoken ahead of time. The words that he said. How did Peter know? Remember, Jesus was with them 40 days. And he told them the things concerning himself. You learn to speak the word. You must learn to speak the word. You must learn to put the words on your lips. You must learn to say it all the time. Are you in church? I said, are you in church? And Paul said that about Abraham. Look at Romans 4. See, I place premium on my words. My words are important to me. They must be important to you. The words you speak must be important to you. Amen. I'm a person of honor. So I'm a person of honor. I walk in love. I walk in love. I forgive easily. I don't get angry. I forgive easily. I have self-control. I control my emotions. I keep relationships. I am loyal. Amen. You know, you say that about you. Say, well, I'm not a relationship person. I'm not a relationship person. No, no, no. You are born to be a relationship person. Amen. You have fellowship with the Father and with the brethren. I am a relationship-minded person. I'm born that way. I was planted in a family called the Church of God. And I know how to relate with God's children. Amen. What about saying that often and often and often? You see yourself do it. Praise God. Are you in church? Okay, look at Romans 4:17. Paul used Abraham's example. I want you to follow this very well. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Look, notice that word, I have made thee. Now the word I have made thee is like saying I have appointed you. It's the Greek word titemi. T-I-T-H-E-M-I. I have appointed you. Now when you use the word appoint, it means the man will have to function in it. Alright? So God's word is I have made you. He made Abraham father of many nations. Titemi. Pay attention now. It's the same word in Romans 5:19. Through one man, many were made sinners. And I told you, people don't become sinners automatically when they are born. It's not the right doctrine. So they're appointed because of Adam's transgression. But then people make their choices. Adam's choice is not yours. Alright? Pay attention to this. So here we are. It says, a father of many nations have I made you. That's God's word. Have I appointed you? Titemi. The word is a verb. Have I put you in place? Look at the next verse. The next word. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Who quickeneth the dead. Now the word quicken the dead is the word zoopoheo. I'll spell it for you. Z-O-O. Z-O-O-P-I-E-O. Z-O-O-P-I-E-O. Is the word used for God strictly. No other person where this was used for except God. Zoopoheo. Z-O-O-P-I-E-O. You find it in John 5:29. John 6:63. John 5:29. John 6:63. John 5:29. Sorry, John 5:21. John 6:63. Write this down again. 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:36. 1 Corinthians 15:45. I'll take it again. John 5:21. John 6:63. 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:36. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Then again, 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Galatians 3:21. Galatians 3:21. 1 Peter 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Galatians 3:21. 1 Peter 3:18. Now, I pointed out to say, to show you something, that when that word is used, it's used for the resurrection from the dead. Listen carefully. In Romans 8:11, Paul used the same word when he says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. The same word. To quicken. To put life. So, we can say safely that he's talking about God, who quickened the dead. Now, notice something. And calleth the things that which be not as though they were. Now, people have said, who calls the things that be not as though they were? It's not God. Because he had made him the father of many nations. And he says, he has appointed him. But then, why did he say, call it the things that be not as though they were? Because the preceding verses tell you that Abraham's body was dead. And same as his wife's womb. So the call was Abraham's call. God has said, a father of many nations have I made you. Abraham will now call the things that be not as though they were. In other words, he will put God's word on his lips, which is not in the reality in the natural, and he will call it as something that has happened. Pay attention. He says, who against hope? That's not God. Verse 18, believe in hope. So he calls the things that be not as though they were against hope. He believed in hope. Abraham. That's Abraham. In his sight. Follow this. Who against hope believed in hope? Verse 18. That he might what? Come on, verse 18. Let's say verse 18 together. Come on, let's go. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become? Hold on now. That he might what? Now, what did God make him in 17? Huh? That is, he put him in a place. He appointed him a father of many nations. Abraham will now call those things that God has said, which be not. It wasn't obvious. It wasn't obvious. Oftentimes people think that God delayed Abraham's healing or whatever. He delayed, he's having Isaac after 25 years. Say, yeah, that's faith. No. It took Abraham 25 years to call those things. Abraham never aligned his confession with God's word. He kept calling himself Abram. Abram means assumed father, exalted one. Abraham is an actual father. And then God reminded him, a father of many nations have I made you. I didn't make you now. I made you when I called you. Abraham changed his name. He changed his name to Abraham. Within 12 months, Isaac was born. So, he changed what he said. Now, notice the word. That he might become. So, that he might become what? What God said. That he might become. So he called the things that be not that he might become. The word become is the word ginomai. That is for him to happen, for him to come to pass. However, as he was calling those things, what was going on? Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Let's say verse 19 together. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. The body now dead. Is the word nekro in the Greek. N-E-K-R-O-O. It means deprived of life. It was incomplete. Deprived of life. The next word he says, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Deadness of Sarah's womb is the word necrosis. N-E-K-R-O-S-I-S. Same thing. Impotent it means. That is, it can carry out a function. So, this can be used for healing, for example. His body was impotent. His body couldn't function again medically. His body, which was now dead, he says he did not consider it. So say, consider it. Say, consider it. The word to consider is to make account of, to take note of, to perceive it, to have a mental appraisal of it. He wasn't Googling, what can an 100-year-old man do? He didn't Google it. What can he not do? He did not consider his body now dead. Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. Look at that word consider. Hebrews 3:1. It says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews 10:24. We consider one another that we may provoke one another to good works. But very vitally, James 1:23 and 24. James talks about the man who looks into the mirror and sees his face. And then he forgets the manner of man. He doesn't consider it. That is, when he is talking, he makes no reference to it. When he is praising the Lord, he makes no reference to it. When we are talking and about things generally, he doesn't consider it. The word of God. So Abraham stopped calling himself what his body was saying. He stopped saying it. Someone came to me at camp meeting. I got a testimony last week. He said, sir, this and this and this and this. And as he finished describing it, I just heard the Holy Ghost tell me, tell him not to repeat it again. I said, don't say that word again. Yeah, I said, don't. I wasn't going to pray for him. I said, don't say it again. He's looking at me. And I just walked away. I didn't want to explain what I meant. Because they can start asking, why, sir? Because I might, you know, somebody have a way of making you now doubt what you are saying. I said, don't say it again. So I just walked, I just went to Jesus on people. I said, don't say it again. He did. He told me last week that he got healed completely. He said, don't repeat it. You've had enough of saying it. If saying what is happening to you could change you, you should have been healed by now. We're not asking you to deny the facts. But I think you have said enough of those facts to not to repeat them again. Don't say it again. Don't say it again. Don't say it again. I have this. I have is your own. I have this. I have is mine. You know my asthma now. That's my asthma. Your own. Did you buy it? Even if you buy it, lose it. I said, don't repeat it. So we must learn to take into consideration what God has said. See, I learn to call the things that be not as though they were. How do you do that? That means something that you cannot see, you can't feel, you can't experience it, you say as though it's happening now. You can't feel it. You don't have the experience. You don't even have a near experience of it. But you're saying it. You're saying it. You're saying it. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Say, I call the things that be not as though they were. Say, I call them and they come to pass. Say, I call them. Say, I call them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I call them. Say that. Considering not his own body. Don't repeat it again. You know, I have this issue. I never make things work. Don't repeat it again. I make things work. You are saying it when something just went bad, I make things work. I make them work. I have the wisdom of God. And I'm setting things right. Things work in my hands. Nothing dies in my hands. I'm fruitful. I'm productive. Oh, glory. I'm fruitful. I'm productive. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Calling the things that be not as though they are happening now. That is, you take your confession from a future tense to a present tense. I am doing well. I am blessed. My needs are met already. My bills are paid already. Praise God. The supply is here already. I am healed in my body now. Glory to God. Calling the things that be not as though they were. Quickly, Hebrews 3:1. You learning something? Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, okay, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Notice that this word confession wasn't used by Jesus. Yet he thought about it. Our confession. The word confession is the Greek word homologia. Homologia. H-O-M-O-L-O-G-I-A. Homologia means to speak in agreement. So if I say, our agreement. Jesus Christ is called the apostle and the high priest of our agreement. A better word would be say, to speak of a conclusion. A confession is a conclusion. To speak to a conclusion, better still. To speak to a conclusion. That is, a confession is definite and it has a conclusion. I am what he says I am. He says, Jesus Christ is the high priest of that confession. That is, my confession is what he did. My confession is what he accomplished. My confession is what he has done. In other words, my conclusion is his conclusion. Glory to God. He calls him the apostle and the high priest of this conclusion. What God has done. That word confession also has a term to mean to say something in two places. In other words, I say with my mouth what I have believed in my heart. I say with my mouth. There cannot be confession without words. 2 Corinthians 9:13. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Whilst by the experiment, pay attention to this, of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Professed subjection. Same word. 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Professed before many witnesses. Verse 13. Why, let's keep that. Verse 13. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. So, a good confession. So, the word confession means a conclusion. Something that has been concluded. And then we say it in words. This is a conclusion. That is why confession of sins cannot glorify Jesus. It's the confession of what he has done about sins that glorifies him. A conclusion. The sin we commit cannot be the conclusion. The conclusion has to be the sacrifice that he made. Amen. Many folks need to learn that forgiveness of sins is not a prayer request. It's not answer to prayer. Forgiveness of sins is a gift. Amen. And the way we express God's forgiveness is by giving thanks. I thank God Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 1:12, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his own dear Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. We have redemption in his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Say, I have forgiveness of sins. It belongs to you. I have it. It's mine. Homologio is the second word. Homologio is the active word of homologia. While homologia means to say thing, the same thing together, homologio is to say that conclusion. To say it. Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:10. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Homologio. Homologio. It means to speak of a definite conclusion. Hebrews 13:15. In other words, everything that God, I'm closing here, everything that God has done in Christ is now our confession. In other words, when I have a confession, I speak from a conclusion, saying, Lord, I have sinned is not the confession. Saying he's faithful and just to forgive me, has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. That is the confession. If any man sin, 1 John 2:1, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ righteous, who is a propitiation not only for our sins, but for the whole world. That's my confession. My confession cannot be my weakness. My confession can't be my own doing. My confession has to be his own work, what he has done. That's my confession. Hebrews 13:15. Are you in church? Are you in church? Let's take it together. Hebrews 13:15. Let's go. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Glory to God. Giving thanks to his name. The word here means to confess his name. What will be the sacrifice of praise? I am sanctified. I am perfected. The sins, my sins and iniquities, he remembers no more. I am cleansed by the blood. I am seated with him. I'm a son brought under glory. I'm reading Hebrews for you. Amen. Brought under glory. I am saved eternally. I have received eternal redemption. I have eternal salvation. Glory to God. He has purged my conscience. Now I can serve God. Hallelujah. I am perfect. See, I'm perfect. Bible says he has perfected forever them who are sanctified. When I say that, I'm not just boasting. Actually, I am also. I am giving thanks to his name. I am confessing a confession. A conclusion. Amen. I am saying what he has done. I am saying what he promised that he fulfilled. So 1 John 1:9 tells us that. 1 John 1:9 tells us that. 1 John 1:9. John always uses the confession about Christ. You can read it on your own. 1 John 1:9. It has to be about Christ. 1 John 4:2. 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:15. 1 John 4:2. 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:15. 2 John 7. Every confession is an acknowledgement of Jesus. So you can't acknowledge Jesus by saying you have sinned in 1 John 1:9. What do you acknowledge in 1 John 1:9? He is faithful to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. When does he forgive? Don't read further. 1 John 2:12. These things I write unto you that you might know that because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Present tense or past tense and continuous tense. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. What do you mean? How can God forgive your sins yesterday, today, and forever? How can that be possible? I ask you, when were you born? I was born 1901. Very good. When did Jesus die? 2,000 years ago, like we always, everything is always 2,000 years ago. Okay, so he died 2,000 years ago. You were born about 100 years ago or so. So, when he paid for your sins, was it in the future or in the past? In the future. So, what is your grouse? Or what is your agros, like we say in Nigeria? What's your issue? He paid for sins once and for all. When he paid for them, they were in the future. Amen. So what should be your confession? I am forgiven and I am cleansed from all unrighteousness. Because verse 7 says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with God. Amen. So don't use your words to confess your weakness. Confess his work. Say what he has done. Consistently affirm it. Say it all the time. Like we said, say with authority, affirm it all over again. Say what he has done and say what he is doing. What has he done? He's paid for sins. What is he doing? He's holding to that fact. Amen. What will he do tomorrow? What he has done concerning sin. So what does a believer do when he sins? He confesses his forgiveness. Confessing his sins is not what glorifies God. Confessing his forgiveness is our confession of faith. I dare to say what God has done. I dare to say who I am in Christ. I dare to say what I can do in Christ. I call the things that be not as though they were. You bless this morning. Lift those hands and bless God. Come on. Can we call some things this morning? Go ahead and call some things this morning. As though they were.